On this week's show, we're going to reveal 7 powerful hacks to spot property deals that other investors completely miss.
And in the news this week, Labour are gearing up for a tax raid on landlords.
So welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. My name's Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And it's going to be an interesting week this week. I'm looking forward to the discussion on the news. Labour again going after landlords. But before we get to that, why don't we delve straight in to the 7 property powerful hacks to find deals that no one else uses. Do you want to kick us off with the first one?
So the first one is the ugly duckling principle.
The ugly duckling principle. Did you name that yourself?
Yes.
It's a great principle. So if you're not familiar with the ugly duckling principle, what is it? It's basically you're looking for properties that the pictures are rubbish.
Yeah.
So horrible photos, bad staging, it might be dark images. I actually do a piece when I'm teaching people about HMOs, about lighting and taking photographs, and you'd actually be amazed how many bad photos there are. If you go on like Spare Room, for example, look at landlords' listings of HMOs, the photos are terrible.
Oh, yeah, and it makes such a big difference. Like, when you're looking for somewhere to stay, a property, the minute it doesn't catch your eye because it's not pleasing to the eye, you just can't help but move on.
No.
Ding, 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 no.
The house we lived at before here, credit to you, because you showed me the pictures and I was just like, nah. And you were like, no. Because actually, a lot of it was dated furniture.
Yeah.
And you were like, it won't be that furniture in there. It'll be our furniture.
But the photos were so... Even now when I look at them, I'm like, what on earth are they doing having those up? But what happened for me is we looked and you said, no. And it was only because I knew the area. I thought, hang on, I'll just look at the street view. And then that view of the house on the street view was so much better than the photos they put on of the house.
Yeah.
And I just thought, why would you do that? Like, the amount of people that would have just been going, oh, no, not that one.
Yeah.
Just because, solely because of the photos.
Well, you've done some Instagram reels, haven't you, where you've gone through and you've like looked at, this is on Rightmove, some of the shocking pictures, with pictures the agents put on, and there's people in bed.
Yeah, and I think what made them just think, yeah, we'll go for that. Like, you just wouldn't put that in, would you?
No.
You just would go, okay, no. Or, like, there's mess everywhere, like people's underwear, and you think, how are you expecting people to see past that? But you have to see past it.
Of course you do. Well, I know someone who bought a three-bed terraced house in Nottingham. Sat on the market for 4 months. Why? Because the pictures were awful. Like, you know, toilet seat lid up. Should the lid be up or should it be down?
I would go for down, or if it's up, it needs to be
a
darn clean toilet, doesn't it?
Men have always got an issue with women leaving the toilet seat down. Is that wrong?
Yeah. It's what? They have an issue.
Men have always got an issue. Me and all my mates were always like, oh, there's bloody women leaving the toilet seat down. You're not aware of it. We're not told you this.
No, you haven't.
We kept that a secret among ourselves. So, yeah.
So you just all have your, when you go to your little men's coffee mornings.
Coffee mornings.
Sessions, you all moan about
we
it.
We moan about it. Oh, those bloody women leaving the toilet seats down again. Absolute nightmare.
Imagine it.
Blurry hallway. One of the photos had someone's sock in the background. It was just awful. And people assumed it was a dump. But in reality, it was a bit of a dump, but it just needed cosmetics. It wasn't anything major, but it put everybody off.
Yep.
So he ended up getting it 22 grand below the asking price. It was already a good deal. Spent 12 grand on the refurb. It added 50 grand worth of value, refinanced it, pulled his money out. How did he find it? Why was this great deal sitting on Rightmove for 4 months? Because everyone skipped past it because it looked rubbish.
Yeah.
So I think the lesson is most buyers scroll past these. If you find properties, for example, that have only got, do you know those properties that have only got 3 photos?
Yeah. I just move past those.
Yeah.
This is when I'm looking to personally.
For yourself.
I'd just be like, no, if I can't see, they've obviously got something to hide.
Yeah.
That would be my mentality. No, they obviously don't want it. Do you know the ones that don't show you the front of the house?
On the main photo.
I'm like, oh,
it's a red flag.
Yeah, I'm like,
because you're like, oh, the front of the house looks shit.
they're that desperate to not put it on. Mm. I'm just like, scroll, like, not interested.
I agree. So I think the hack is, the ugly duckling hack, ugly duckling, not duckling. I don't know what a duckling is.
I didn't come up with it, but could say it right.
Yeah, this is true. So you go on Rightmove, go on Zoopla. You don't have to look off market for this, literally on market. But just, I would normally go lowest price in the area.
Yeah.
Start there.
Ones that have been on for a long time.
Check listings that you look at the photos and go, ugh. Ah, great.
Yeah.
This could be a steal. Book a viewing in. Go and have a look.
And we don't mean bad boy when you clearly click on them. It's derelict necessarily. Like sometimes,
not necessarily, but that could still be a good deal.
I'm not saying it can't, but we're not specifically talking about that, are we?
No.
We're just talking about when they're not eye-catching photos.
We're talking about ones that look worse than they are.
Yeah.
It's often cosmetic issues.
Yeah. So that's it, really dated, like when it hasn't been done up since the 70s and you just instantly think, ugh. No.
But actually, your refurb's not going to cost that much, but no one's going to want to buy it. Here's another interesting thing, talking about this topic. Do you know, nearly everyone, when you buy a house, they want to buy a house that looks nice.
Yep.
However, they buy a house that looks nice and they redecorate anyway.
Yeah.
It's, well, like,
it's because you can't see past. You've got to have an eye for seeing past how it is when you see it. So I saw another article about this saying how to sell your house quick.
Mm.
And she basically cleared out her house, put loads of stuff into storage, and her house was lovely, but it had all her belongings in. And do you know how some people just have a, what's the word?
Minimalistic.
Yes. But she just had a lot of...
Easy for you to say.
A lot of books and things. So she said she put like half her stuff into storage. She, anything where it was like a bit of a bit out there, feature wall, made it cream. So almost staged it like a show home and it sold within a week or two. Because people can't see past how you've got it. That's how in their head they think they've got to have it, and then it seems too much hard work.
Yeah.
And they just think, no, like there's too much clutter. This house is clutter. Well, this house isn't clutter. This person's clutter.
Yeah.
Not, when you live in it, you don't have to
it's
be
It's not
clutter.
A clutter house, it's a clutter person.
100%. But people can't see past it.
So this is like the opposite of that. It's look for the stuff people can't see past.
Yeah.
Look for the looks bad.
I think grimy bathrooms, people really struggle to see past. I mean, even I do to a point. Like
even you,
even me.
Wow, that elite level of property investor. That if you can do it,
anyone can.
Anyone. Amazing. All right, so there you go. There's hack number one: the ugly duckling. Hack number two: listings with weird keywords. So, for example, words like unmodernized, structural, or cash buyers only. Anything like this immediately puts a lot of buyers off, okay? Because they scream problem properties. You got to remember as well, when you're looking on Rightmove, obviously we're investors, we're looking to buy to invest in, but the vast majority of the market are looking for them to live in.
Yeah.
So anything like that, it's like, disgusting.
Skip.
But while they see problems, we see discounts, value add potential.
Yeah.
You know, when you're looking, everything we buy, we're looking to buy stuff that's got problems that we can fix.
Yeah. Because that's kind of how BRR works.
That's how you make money.
Yeah.
The definition of an entrepreneur is someone who takes risks to solve problems. And that's what you're doing. You're trying to solve problems. One of our students, a guy called Nathan, he saw this deal in, I think it was in Liverpool. I've got the details here in front of me. 70 Stacks property in Liverpool. It said cash buyers only. Structural issues. Of course, everyone's put off it. So what he did was he got a structural engineer, mate of his, to go around and have a look. Turns out it was an old drainage issue. It actually already been fixed, but they hadn't signed it off on the property, so they still had to say it had structural issues. So he grabbed it for cheap, full refurb, flipped it with a proper structural warranty, massive profit margin, made 45 grand on it. Little things like that put everyone off. Look into it, investigate it. So I think, weird keywords.
Yeah.
Again, it's kind of similar to the ugly duckling one, but the ugly duckling one's all about the aesthetics.
Yeah.
This is about what they're putting in the description. Problem properties, stuff that puts people off, they're not interested in. And then you find something like that, like Nathan did.
Yeah.
Bang, great deal.
That's a brilliant one. Because I think it scares people. I've had people message me and say, oh, I can't go through it because it says cash buyers only. What am I going to do?
Yeah. It's like, if you realise... Cash buyers only. If you get bridging finance, for example, that's okay.
Yeah.
It just basically means no mortgage.
But that will put... The minute they put cash buyers only, they must lose so many people looking at it because that's just like, no, mind blown. No, I can't. I'm not a cash buyer. I haven't got 200K in my
I haven't got it in my bank.
Like that, so I can't. So they instantly just swipe on. So yeah, I think that's a great one. Shall we look at number three?
Go for it.
Estate agent fatigue. Now this is a good one.
Tired estate agents.
Yes, because you basically, if you build up actual genuine relationships with your estate agents, you then can ask about properties that have been on for 90 plus days. Because the truth is, they get all excited, they list a new property, and when there's just no traction for it at all, they get bored and they stop promoting it.
Well, you kind of move on to the new stuff. Also, they kind of, it feels like flogging a dead horse.
Yeah, and they just think no one's interested in this property. It goes down their agenda, they've moved on, and, you know, and I've seen this time and time again. One of my friends from the mom's from school, I remember she had her house on the market, and I only knew that she hadn't got like a sign up outside, but because she told me, and she was like, we're really struggling to sell it. And then ironically, when we were buying this, our house fell under the exact same price range as we'd be looking for. So I was like, right, that would be in our budget. And I was laughing to myself because we went to her estate agent. And I thought, this is going to be funny because we're just going to...
We went looking at any house
in that range, book a viewing, and we'll do a big back-to-back day of viewings. And I thought, this is going to be fun because we're going to just turn up at our house and be like, hey. They never told us about it. And I messaged her and went...
Just so you know.
No, we did this. No wonder your house isn't selling because they don't even promote it anymore. They didn't give that your house as an option, and she went mad. And I just think, now that's obviously us again buying our personal home.
Have you always been a grass?
Yeah.
just so you know.
Yeah. And we won't say the estate agent's names.
No.
But it rhymes with Ramptons. But hey ho, I'm sure they do good promoting.
No, I'm sure they are good.
No, they are. But I think that is just natural. That house is, for some reason, isn't that popular around here. And they've moved on. And they obviously saw us and thought... They thought they knew what we wanted, and that they didn't promote that house to us.
Yeah, I always ask the question. I say, have you got any properties that have been on the market for a while now that you're surprised hasn't gone?
Yeah.
Because sometimes they're like, oh yeah, well that hasn't gone because he's holding out for too high a price.
Yeah.
In which case it's no good. But if it hasn't gone and they're surprised it hasn't gone, it's usually a good sign.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I think if you build a good relationship as well with them, they obviously need to get a decent deal for the seller, but they are also prepared to kind of, when they're on there for that long and they just want them gone, they are kind of prepared to tell you just how low the person's, like, we've had some great deals because they're like, they actually will sell this up.
Yeah.
Because they're just desperate.
Yeah, or they'll rent it or sell it, and you're like, lease option agreement,
yeah.
Maybe.
I get excited if they say, the minute they say they would rent, I'm like a little kid at Christmas. I'm like, oh, so they will rent it. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like,
yes. Yeah. Means they don't need the money.
Yeah.
Which is always a good thing. All right, number four. Hack number four. This, I know people who make all the BRR type deals and make all their money from this strategy alone. This is all they do.
Tell us.
I'll tell you the plan. It's the floor plan redraw, changing the layout of the property. So you could spot poor layouts. For example, you could take it from a 2-bed to a 3-bed.
Yeah.
Very easily. You can, sometimes the rooms downstairs, I've seen other properties where it's all like crammed in together, like, and they can make it big open plan kitchen and things like that can add an awful lot of value. So you need to remember, yeah, what you're buying now isn't necessarily what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
You know, you can also, with permitted development, if you find properties like that, they've got space in the garden, you can add quite large extensions,
yeah,
without any planning permission needed, which I think is a great move as well. So if you can look at it and it's a bad layout, because bad layouts put people off, because again, they only see what it is.
Yeah.
As an investor, you need to see the possibilities as well as what it is,
yeah,
I think. But yeah, the bedroom one, loads of people buy apartments and have converted them, like, let's say, a 1-bed apartment into a 2-bed.
Yeah.
Adds so much value.
Oh, yeah, because there's only a small market, isn't there, for people who want 1-bedroom apartments. So if you can take a 1-bed and turn it into a 2-bed, that's brilliant.
Yeah, And I know loads of people that do that. Yeah. Two beds into three beds. So if you can spot a design flaw,
yeah.
poor floor plan layout. And again, you might notice this with properties that don't shift.
Yeah.
You know, we've bought a few properties where it's been like, I can see why it hasn't sold. It hasn't sold because of that. We can fix that.
Yeah. And you know what? I think quite a lot of what we call new builds, but aren't new anymore because we're getting old. Do you know the new builds that were around when we were kids and all the estates look the same?
Oh, the old builds.
Now the old build estates.
Yeah.
And also I get mocked down here for calling places estates.
Call this an estate? They're like, it's a private road, aren't
it? Yeah, and I'm like, I have an estate and they all laugh.
Yeah.
But the estates where we grew up and we all called them, some of them are so badly designed. Because they used to go for like almost loads of tiddly little silly little rooms where actually if you renovated those with open plan, people really want like open plan now. If you took all the silly little rooms and made it an open plan lounge area, I think those houses are a good, so houses that are now 20 years old, I think you could get some really good deals there. Take away all the silly little rooms. Make, instead of five beds, but like you could barely fit a bed in them, make three or four really nice bedrooms, put en suites on and open the downstairs up. And I think brilliant they would be, because I think that decade of making houses, I don't think they were very good, if I'm being honest. I used to just think, and so we never bought ones like that, rented ones like that, did we? Because we always went for older buildings originally, because they're the ones that had more space and more room.
I think like what people want changes over time. Yeah. So when I was a kid, you wanted a separate dining room and a really small kitchen.
Yeah.
And all the houses, for example, on Purton, where I grew up, they all had little kitchens.
Because you wanted the dining room.
Whereas now, wants now is an open plan kitchen diner, maybe even open plan kitchen diner living room,
yep.
with big bifold windows leading out to the back. So that,
yeah, if you can take on older properties and do that,
yeah,
that then sell like a treat.
100%. All right, number five, the postcode next door. So do you know when you've got like really popular areas where everyone wants to buy, and then sometimes right near. For whatever reason, you got another area. Maybe the houses are slightly older and it's just not a very popular location. Those areas can be great, in particular if you know some development is coming. So if you find an area that's just outside, and let's say Taylor Wimpey, or maybe they're building nicer homes, but they're building some really nice homes in your area.
Yeah.
That will raise the value of the council houses up there, because now they're in amongst those new... I mean, look at Beaconsfield. Do you know those sort of old army homes?
Yes.
If they had sold before, they'd have got nothing. Now all those nice homes near them, that will automatically have raised the value of those. So if you can spot areas... I know an investor who literally is like checking the local planning portal, like other people would check Netflix. You know, he spots like, oh, they're building a new school there. That's going to help with the house prices there. Oh, they're building some luxury homes. That's going to help these homes, because it will sort of tag them into the area.
A bit late now, but one that they've done on a massive scale that was nothing and no one would have ever wanted to live there particularly. And now it's like, whoa, Bicester.
Mm.
If you got on that when you knew they were building that, like the outlet, oh my goodness. It went crazy, and then developments went up left, right, and centre. And now, the population of Bicester must have, like, I don't even know, quadrupled.
Well, look at how many new builds are building there. Like, I'll tell you where it's not too late, though. Do you know in Bedfordshire?
Yes,
that's they're building the, well. Is it the Warner? Is it Warner?
Is it the Warner?
Studios, Universal Studios.
Universal
Studios.
Universal, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a building, massive theme park. Imagine if you bought a property there now, how good would that do as SA?
Really, you should be. I think if I could recommend anyone buy anywhere right now, it would be there or in. People are prepared to travel. So I think you could even venture out a little bit and then, you know, but that is where, when you know that's coming, even if it's not done for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
That is where you should be invested.
I wonder how close that is. Have I got Google Maps on here? I wonder how close that is to Willingham House.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
I wonder if we could do like...
a deal, stay here.
I mean, it's Cambridge. I've got a feeling it's not a million miles. Where do you know where it's going to be? The new Universal Studios. I'll just put Bedford in.
Yeah, Bedford, it will come up.
Bedford. So from Willingham to Bedford, it's 30 miles.
It's a bit far.
Yeah. It's not too far, though.
Because remember when we went to Disney? We stayed in, it's in Paris, but we stayed central Paris, and that was 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah, similar sort of thing.
Like, and I do think, and let's face it, I don't think anyone that got an SA in Paris is kicking themselves now. Because no. It will be, once you put something like that so big there, I think that would just a winner.
I need to look it up, see where it actually is, because it's not going to be in Bedford Centre. No. If it's to the east of Bedford, we're laughing.
Yeah.
All right. Number six. Probate, repossessions, divorce sales.
Yeah.
Target properties where they're highly motivated to sell.
Well, our one in Hensford was a divorce sale, wasn't it?
It was. And these aren't just sales because they've got deadlines.
Yeah.
They've got to get the cash, and you're the problem solver. If you can be quick, you can go around, you're ready to move. You've got your funds ready. Because a lot of people, when they're, again, residential sales, there's a chain.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to take ages. I'm waiting for mine to sell and yours to sell. And how many people, again, I know loads of people around here are selling their own home. And you hear them moaning about the chain.
Yep.
Whereas, because you're an investor, quick,
yep.
You can access these sort of properties. So the hack here is to have a chat to solicitors, auction sites. If you can get in with someone like, we know a guy called Sam Fongo who deals with auctions, he gives us loads of leads like this because he runs a lot of the auction houses. He knows, oh, this is coming up.
Yeah.
That one's coming up. Or even estate agents, if they've got a probate department.
I think you definitely need to be in with the estate agent. Now I can't speak. Estate agents in your local area because they always give you off-site deals. Because if they know, once you've done one or two deals through them and they know you're reliable, you're fast, you don't let the people down, you're not mucking around, they'll think, oh, easy sale. Let's just ring Russell. He'll buy it. Like, and then what you find is you don't even have to look because they're coming to you. Oh, we've got this one. Do you want it fast? And you actually feel, and that's a brilliant way. I think you've got to get and build good relationships with your local estate agents or wherever you're investing.
Yeah. Next, number seven. And this actually is how we've got a lot of our land deals and how we got Willingham House. It's off-market deals.
Yeah.
So the great thing about this is these deals have never even hit the market. You know, you're going direct to the vendor. You could do it through landlords that you know through networking, potentially through Facebook groups. You can do it again through relationships with estate agents. But the way, I mean, you actually got most of our off-market land deals, didn't you?
I did.
You didn't do any of
that. So what I used to do is find pieces of land that look good, go on land registry, get their names, and I just wrote letters.
So you just found places. So you might see, for example, I remember one in particular, we were in Brown Hills, and we just noticed this house that had been abandoned for ages.
Yeah.
So you've got bought the title deed. It's got their details.
For like £2 or £3.
Yeah, it's gone up, you know, now.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, it's been £3. It was £3 for ages. It's like £9 or something now.
Oh,
outrageous.
How rude. And I said, I was doing like bulk letters, but actually we had, was it about 15, 20% responded? I was shocked. I didn't think it would work as well as it actually did. And we got about 15, 20% people get in touch and say, yeah, come and view the land, come and view the property. And that comes with its own challenges because then you have to, in one way, it is hard. I think it's harder negotiating direct.
Yeah.
Because that person's very invested. You haven't got a middleman. That person's very invested. It's their piece of land or it's their property and they can become slightly hard work. At times, I think that does come with its own problems, but I think it's brilliant at the same time. And the amount of people that we found that they were like, do you know what, we'd been considering putting the house up or putting the land on, but we just never got around to it. And then your letter appeared and we thought, oh, we would like to just sell to like a family-run company. And we thought, yeah, why not? Let's give you a call. Like, some people like that. So that does really work.
Yeah, I agree. As interestingly as well, so even if you're looking for just normal houses, so Lord Alan Sugar, wanted to buy a property in Essex. And you know, like Beaconsfield's got the Golden Triangle.
Yeah.
Essex has got the Golden Triangle. He had a look and there was no houses up on the market. So he's like, you know what? He just drove down the street. He's like, I like that one, like that one, like that one, like that one, like that one. He just wrote them all a letter.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the exact statistics, but he bought one of them.
Yep.
And like quite a few of them were like, yeah, we're open. I'm just reading an article about it now as well. A guy, he wanted to go to Lichfield, ironically, and to raise his kids. So he did the exact same thing, just wrote letters to 50 properties that he liked. And half of them got back to him. 25% of them said they're open to selling.
What were the other 25? Just informing him that they didn't appreciate his letter.
We used to get that though, didn't
we? Yeah, we did. No, thank you.
No, thank you. No, thank you. Yeah, so 25% of them were like, yeah, oh, we're open to it. He just picked properties. Because I suppose, would you sell this house?
The answer is for the right price.
Yeah. You would?
Like if someone saw it and were like, but we want to live.
We want to live right in that house.
Not in that estate, on that road, that private road.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're like, that is where we want to be. We've seen it. Like, we'll give you 10% above asking for it. Yeah, we'd sell it, yeah. It would, not even that big a deal. I wouldn't be like, no, you have to pay me double to leave. Like, a bit above asking. I would go, yeah.
My mom bought...
So if anyone wants our house...
it's a very nice house. If you're prepared to pay way above the asking price...
We'll give it you.
Yeah, of course. My mom bought it very similar in a property in Arrow Road. It had a big land to the side.
Yeah.
She managed to negotiate that. Again, it wasn't on the market. She just saw it.
But
the little tip that she did, which I thought was really clever, she thought, if I just send a letter to them, they'll be like, why did they send a letter to me? So she sent one to all the houses on that side of the street.
Yeah, because she didn't want to give away why she particularly wanted that house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as it happened, they were one of the ones that got back to it. If they hadn't have been, then she would have just...
Left it,
100%. So there you go. They are the 7... property hacks that you can do to find the best property deals.
Right, so in the news this week, Labour are gearing up for a tax raid on landlords. Labour have made it clear they won't be raising taxes for working people, but apparently if you own a rental property, you're fair game.
Yeah, so landlords, apparently, it's not a job being a landlord.
No.
You're not a working person.
No.
It's funny that Keir Starmer actually came out and said, landlords, I do not count as a working person, which means basically because they came out, didn't they? And they said, we're not going to raise taxes for work, although they actually kind of have.
Yeah.
But we really want to hit landlords, and that obviously doesn't break the promise. However, landlords are very worried about this. So we're going to have a quick look now at some of the taxes that Labour are talking about raising. Now, I just want to stress, none of this has actually happened.
It's just all talk at the moment. Do use talk to scare. People get scared, don't they?
I think they like to gauge public reaction as well.
Yeah.
So I think being outraged and making people aware of this and landlords like the NRLA have made a big deal of it, which I think is great because it's like basically saying to them, if they announce we might raise it for landlords, no one was like, they might do. They'd be like, okay, great.
Yeah, no one cared.
I do think they like to gauge public reaction. So yeah, make a big complaint about it. Comment below in the chat. Oh, this is disgusting. Outrageous. Make sure you make a big deal. So here's the first one, capital gains tax. So the NRLA did a survey. 83% of landlords said they are worried that capital gains tax is going to rise.
Yeah.
61% are very concerned. And obviously this would hit investors really hard when trying to exit the market. So if you're selling your properties, it might be your retiring landlord or just cashing in on your portfolio or rebalancing the books or whatever it is. But capital gains tax is one that there is a lot of talk about rising. Next, this one, the capital gains tax one doesn't actually worry me at all. I'll explain why in a minute. But this one is a bit crazy. So they're talking about introducing national insurance on your rental profits. So obviously you've got income tax already.
Yeah.
And it'll be a 6%. And I think the 6%, anything between like 12 and a half and 30 grand or something. And then 2%, anything on top of that. So yeah, this is obviously going to hit all landlords that are making a rental income. That's a bit of a worrying one.
Yeah, that wouldn't be great.
That wouldn't be great at all. Rental income specific tax ban. So the talk of creating a new harsher tax ban for rental income. So if it's rental income, it's like, oh, you got your own level of tax and it will be obviously more. It could block popular strategies like income splitting with a non-working partner
and
things like
because
that.
Because you're just in its own tax bracket.
Yeah. And then a really crazy one.
This one is ridiculous.
Which is just, I'm like shocked by this one, but they are adding VAT. They've added it on schools, haven't they?
Yes,
recently?
They have.
So they're talking about adding VAT onto residential lettings, the same as they've done for furnished holiday lets. Although that, to me, makes a lot more sense because it's kind of a commercial transaction. But this would literally, I mean, I think this would actually hit tenants a lot more because I think landlords would just go.
Yeah, because the landlord isn't just going to go, oh, now I'm losing 20%.
No.
They're just going to, everyone's going to up their rents.
Absolute minimum. They're going to go halves, aren't they?
Yeah.
Absolute minimum. They're going to go up 10%. So it's just going to be a massive hike in rents.
So
which
actually,
indirectly, would be hitting the working person. So they're saying, oh, we're protecting the working person. It's like, but what you're doing indirectly is hurting the work.
Yeah. So you just disguised it as taxing the rich.
I don't think that will happen. Lots of tax experts are saying that this would cause a massive inflation on rents. Everyone's saying that. So I don't think that will happen. So it sounds all doom and gloom. It sounds terrible. And if you're new to property, you'd be thinking, oh no, this is the end. But here's the truth. The government have been trying to squeeze landlords for years. Yeah. This isn't new. And that's why lots of landlords are leaving the market. However, if you're educated, if you know what you're doing, there's always a loophole or a way around it. As long as you structure correctly and you know what you're doing. So a couple of things then. First of all, just want to point out, you know, this is all speculative.
Yeah.
Right. So it's
don't
been floating
panic
around in think tanks. Don't panic. Act outraged.
Yeah, but don't
let
panic.
Let them know.
Don't start
annoyed.
Selling.
No, talk about it, but don't start selling. Exactly that. Exactly that. Let them know that you're unhappy. Comment. Make videos about it. Talk about it.
Yeah.
We'd spread awareness of it, but don't panic is the first thing I would say. Second thing is, a lot of it doesn't affect you if you go through a limited company. So if you're like capital gains, for example, you're only paying personal name, obviously you still pay corporation tax. But yeah, I wouldn't be too concerned about it if you're structured through a limited company. That's how you get around things like Section 24.
Yeah. And it's funny because we were talking about that, weren't we, about limited companies and personal name. And we were saying it depends. And actually people are more swaying now to personal name. If this came in, suddenly everyone would be back on the limited company.
Yeah,
limited companies.
It's pros and cons to both, isn't there? It's pros and cons to both. But the biggest thing for me, capital gains tax, is just don't sell.
Yeah.
If you don't sell, if you just refinance, you keep refinancing it and you can use them, it's all tax-free anyway.
Yeah, you're only going to get hit when you
sell.
Selling.
Yeah. That's why that one doesn't concern me at all.
Yeah.
I think the same would happen with the rental income ban because it would be for your company. So if you owned it for a company, that wouldn't affect you. And the VAT threat, I honestly don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't.
I think that everyone knows that the only person that's going to hurt is the tenant.
Yeah.
And it's so obvious.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's stupid enough to think that isn't the outcome of that.
No, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's such a ridiculous thing. So look, the tax landscape, it is shifting, but it always shifts.
Yeah.
If your investment strategy collapses every time the Treasury sneezes, it was never a real strategy in the first place. And the truth is, educated investors don't panic, they pivot.
Yeah.
So it's just be aware. I wouldn't worry about it. But yeah. But be outraged.
Be outraged.
In the meantime. Outraged, but not panicked.
Yes, I agree.
Anyway, guys, hope you enjoyed the show. My name is Russell Leeds.
And I'm Anna Leeds.
And we'll see you next week.